Well, I think it's really hard, actually. I think that we're starting to see a lot of the books that were supposed to be published in April and May are now being moved to August and September because people don't want to publish new books into this time period. That's not true of all the books, but a lot of them. And some of the books that are going to come out are going to come out just because I talked to my Random House rep and they can't have any more books in the warehouse. So they'd like to hold more back, but they have no choice but to get some out of the warehouse to make room for the new ones coming in. So I think it's a pretty big struggle for the publishers, you know, and they're pretty much, so many accounts aren't getting their books now. So they're shipping just to the wholesaler for the most part and some selected accounts. So got to be pretty tough.
And of course, if they delay publishing certain books, there was already a whole year schedule. And so books that were already scheduled to be published later in the year, they might also get impacted if we're seeing everything getting pushed back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. I mean, I think the one good thing in a weird way is that it was a pretty weak fall season because they don't like to compete against the election. So in some ways, there weren't as many great books coming out in September, October, November this year as usually. So to move some of the books from April, May, June into September, October, November might be a good thing to some extent. So if there was ever a year to move them in, this was the year to do it.
Liesl, are there children's books or teen books that had been hotly anticipated to come out that are now getting pushed around in terms of their publishing schedule?
Yes, I'm sure there are, but so far as I know, the biggest one, which would be the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which is the Hunger Games prequel, is due to publish May 17th, and I haven't heard that it's been canceled or anything like that. So I'm still looking forward to that one. We just binged on the whole Hunger Games movie series, so we're excited for that one. But so far as I know, I mean, there definitely are big teen books that were coming out. I just haven't really heard whether they've been pushed back or not yet.
And how are things at the Boulder Bookstore? Because I know, obviously, when the statewide stay-at-home order went into effect, that pretty much shut down operations. But you guys had really done your best to still get books out to people in the community through local delivery, through online, which is still available for people. But how are things at the bookstore?
Well, it's a lot quieter now, but we are still filling orders. So what's happening now is we basically have one person at the store, very occasionally two, and most of the online orders will be fulfilled by Bookshop, which is a new kind of online bookstore that we are an affiliate of. And it's a great thing for us. They've got a really nice site. We're able to tailor our page. I'd encourage people to go to our website and click on the link that's right on the top of the homepage to check out all the recommendations and everything we have on Bookshop. And so that's been a great thing. And what we're fulfilling in the store, the one person, is you can order mystery bags, care packages, things like that on our site. And those are being shipped out directly from the store, but 90% of the online business is now coming directly from a wholesaler, so we don't have to have a bunch of people in the store. And that's, like I said, it's really worked out well with this Bookshop website.
So people can just go directly to the Boulder Bookstore website.
Go to the Boulder Bookstore website, and right at the top of the site, it says, click here basically to order a book, and it puts you right to our Bookshop page, which again, we've tailor-made that page. We're getting good money from that page, so if you want to support us, that's a great way to do it. And it's been working out well, I think.
Well, the last time all three of us were together was our annual Best Books of the Year edition, which happened in December. And we encourage people to go there because there's wonderful lists of recommended books for all ages and all interests and children and teens and all kinds of stuff. But one of the books that was on your list, Arsene, was How to Resist Amazon. Now, Amazon is one of the companies that seems to be thriving these days. I mean, is that still a concern for booksellers as everybody's ordering everything online, it seems? Are we going to see just books move even further into that realm?
Well, I think that our online sales, increased about 40-fold when this happened. So I think people have discovered that they can order from their local bookstores online. And Bookshop, which was set up to be an independent bookstore alternative to Amazon, has really taken off and people are enjoying it. And it's just dedicated to books. It doesn't have a whole bunch of other stuff. So I think in the book industry, there could be some long-term positives as far as people not going to Amazon coming out of this. But of course, you know, one independent bookseller I know joked that it was the Amazon virus, but you know, so there is obviously some concerns.
Well, Liesl, one of the biggest things that's happening during this pandemic and crisis is the fact that all children in the state of Colorado, if not, I think I was reading somewhere like 70% of children around the world are now at home and not at school. This provides many opportunities for families to read together. So what are some of your recommendations for families who now find children of all ages stuck at home?
So for one of my early picture books is a book called In a Jar by Deborah Marciero. And it's this beautiful, lovely little picture. It's a picture book. It's in hardcover right now about a rabbit who collects things in a jar. So, but it's not just leaves and rocks and shells, the sort of normal stuff, but also sights and smells and sounds. And he finds a friend who also collects things in jars. And when they have to move apart because she's moving to a different place, they each share these collections. And so they can open up the jars and remember their experiences with that person that they, or with the rabbit rather, that they had before. So I think that's kind of a lovely thing with all the kids having to be sort of isolated, is, you know, to have an activity that you can do apart from one another while also still sharing together. It's just a lovely little book. And then there is another one, which I think is a little more fun. Well, no, not more fun, but fun as well for an older kid. It's called Escape This Book, Tombs of Egypt. So it's part activity book where you draw your own cartoon and comic into it, so you're creating a graphic novel, but it's part choose your own adventure, and it's a history book. So this one is Tombs of Egypt, so you're kind of racing around historical Egypt, designing and creating your own adventure and graphic novel within the setting of the history of Egypt. So that's fun.
What age group would that be good for?
So the Escape This Book is probably 6 to 9, you know, depending on your interest level. You could probably do it for a while, but, you know, I think it starts at about 6.
And for some of them, the middle school readers, and we'll get into the YA young adult, what are you seeing as being popular in terms of online sales, or what do you think would be a good addition to the homeschooling lineup?
Well, I haven't been in the store, so I have no idea what's selling for the past week and a half. But I did find a couple of historical novels that I thought might be interesting and also perhaps relevant. One of them is called The Blackbird Girls. It's by Anna Blankman, and it's about the Chernobyl disaster in Russia. Sort of, you know, we get a lot of history books. In fact, the other history book on my list is from World War II. So you do get a lot of historical war books, but this Chernobyl disaster, there aren't actually a lot of fictional adaptations for it. So it does cover the history of Chernobyl, but it's also the friendship between these two girls in this time of crisis, and they have to move to Leningrad. So it's a slightly different type of history, so it covers a little different area. The other one is The Village of Scoundrels, which is based on a true story in France about hiding the Jewish refugees from the Gestapo as they were coming into France. And it's based on a true story. And Margie Prius? I don't know how to say her name, actually. She's written a lot of really great historical narratives. She had The Heart of the Samurai, which is about the early Japanese and how they came to the United States and how America interacted with them. It's super great. She does have a number of just kids in kind of wartime situations. Her history is spot on. And she has a glossary and additional reading that you can do after that. So I think that'll be a really great book.
You mentioned the prequel to the Hunger Games series as still being on track to be published in May. For maybe the older young readers, maybe the young adult, are those dystopian style, bleak future style novels still as popular as they were certainly when The Hunger Games first came out?
Definitely not quite. You know, we saw a trend towards more realistic fiction. We see a trend towards fantasy and sci-fi. So we haven't done dystopian like this in a long time. So I'll be interested to see how well it takes, but having just rewatched the movies and contemplated the books, they're still really awesome. So I am looking forward to it. I do have some more lighter fantasy mystery kind of stuff on my teen list. I've got a book called A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, which is sort of, if you know that Serial podcast, it's set up like that, where it's a young high school journalist and she's investigating a murder that seemed to be cut and dry, but you know, she's going back and looking at it again. And so it's set up very much like Serial. So that was fun to read. There is another book called The Lovely War, which is set in the backdrop of World War I again, but it's Aphrodite and Mars kind of having avatars of teens, and they're kind of reenacting their relationships and storytelling. And somebody said it was like Scheherazade for World War I with Aphrodite and Mars. So I don't know how you can mix all those two together, but it's great. The Kingdom of Bach by Marie Lu came out, and it's a fantasy set. If Mozart had a sister who was equally as talented, how far would she go in order to be famous? Because all the attention was on Mozart. And one of my favorite reads from a couple years ago, it's just coming out in paperback, hopefully coming out in paperback in June, The Sorcery of Thorns. It's just pretty much a wonderful, it's a romance, but it's also set in a library that has magic and sorcery, and it's just super well done and a great escape read.
Well, I want to let listeners know that we have the list of all the books that we're talking about today, the recommendations from our friends at the Boulder Bookstore. Liesl, of course, keeping us in tune with what young readers and all the way up to young adult readers are really interested in, and some of the new books coming out. It's all online at news.kgnu.org, as is all of the full archive of our 5 years of podcasting with the Boulder Bookstore, the Radio Book Club, of course, and the 2019 Best Books of the Year. That's always a great resource if you're looking for some recommendations. Arsene, are people finding that they're looking for more lighter fare in these times, or are we looking for historical novels that can help us, you know, decipher what might be ahead of us as we're in this really uncharted territory for our time, certainly?
Well, I think in the adult world, we're seeing a few different things. We're seeing people picking up classics that maybe they always meant to read, and now suddenly they find a lot of time on their hands, so they're going to try to do that, and I'm happy to talk about a few of those. We're seeing people wanting brand new books. You know, just Liesl talked about some new ones that are about to come out or have just come out. And we're seeing that on the adult side, people really excited about something brand new. And of course, then we're also seeing people doing crossword puzzles and Sudoku books and all that kind of stuff. So that's the way the adult market seems to be going. I picked out a few. I didn't deal with the puzzle books, but I did pick out a few new books and a few classic books that I thought I might point people towards.
What are the classics that you're excited about that you're seeing a resurgence in?
Well, you know, one of the things that kind of cracks me up is Moby Dick, for instance, by Melville, right? Old classic, but what could be better? You know, it's a book about obsession and chasing your white whale, and I'm not recommending everybody reads Moby Dick per se, but everybody has a white whale of a novel out there. Like maybe you meant to read James Joyce's Ulysses or Proust In Search of Lost Time, or, you know, David Foster Wallace, or who knows, you know, maybe you've always had this 1,000-page book you wanted to read. So maybe now is the time to do it. And so I think, you know, we are seeing some big books go out, and Liesl could talk about this in like science fiction. People are buying whole series at once, you know, all five volumes of a book. So I thought that, you know, that type of thing would be good. One of my favorite authors is Faulkner, and I would recommend Light in August. That's probably his most accessible of his great novels. Again, it's a great one to dive into. I also like, for the region, Willa Cather is a great American novelist, who I think doesn't get her due. And Death Comes for the Archbishop is really an amazing book set in New Mexico. And it would be worth people's time to delve into that. And also, the way the Archbishop ministers to his people, he's always very hands-on and cares about the poor. And there's just something that resonates in this time period right now, I think, you know, as we're seeing the social stratification kind of play out with how people do with this virus to some extent. And then the last classic was, I thought, was Toni Morrison. And I like Song of Solomon is one of my favorite ones. And I think that it's just an amazing book by one of the best American writers, obviously, of the last 50 years. And just gives a great look. There's some real magical elements to this book. So it's a lot of fun to the African-American experience. Fun might be a tough word for Morrison, but it's really well done and it's very interesting. So those are some classics I thought I would give a shout out to. But I think people are finding, like I said, their own white whales, and we're getting all sorts of orders for different types of classics at the store.
And what are some of the new books, maybe books that have just been published in the first quarter of this year that have, prior to the general shutdown, had been really popular? And what are some of the books that, you know, you're kind of a little bit disappointed to see getting pushed out in terms of publication?
Well, the probably the two that got published right before, around March 1st, if I had to guess, were Splendid in a Vial by Eric Larson. And he writes, you know, these histories, and this is really about Winston Churchill taking power as the bombing of London started. And he's just a great humorous writer. And we have sold a lot of those online. And we had sold a lot in the store before we had to leave the store. So that continues to do well. The other book is the Hilary Mantel came out right before. Many people remember Wolf Hall, which won the Booker Prize. So this is the end of the trilogy about Thomas Cromwell. And people have really been looking forward to this for a long time. And we saw strong sales when it came out in early March, and we're seeing people are still buying this. They want to know what happens at the end for Thomas Cromwell. You know, as things being delayed, I noticed, I saw today the Elena Ferrante, which is supposed to come out in early June, has now been delayed all the way till at least September. There are two books. This week, April 7th, was probably the last date where nothing got pushed back. And so there are a few books that come out, came out yesterday that are really good. One is Afterlife by Julia Alvarez. People might remember her from In the Time of the Butterflies, How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accent. This is her first adult novel in 15 years. And so it's about a woman who's kind of reeling. She's a writer, and she's just retired, and she's reeling from the sudden death of her husband when a pregnant, undocumented teenager shows up at her door. And the other one I thought was really interesting, kind of a bit of a fantasy maybe, is Leave Only Footprints by Connor Knighton. Knighton traveled to every national park last year, and he writes about what he found there. He was coming off a bad breakup, I believe. He was kind of heartbroken. And so you get his personal journey from as these parks and the beautiful nature he sees from Acadia to Zion kind of helps him rebound. But it's also a great tour guide. You know, we can't really go to the national parks right now. So it's kind of fun to live vicariously. And I think maybe to imagine what we can do when we get to the other side of this. So those are two of the books that just came out yesterday that I thought would be great reads.
I was wondering, are some of those travel books going to be popular as people are living a little bit either vicariously or being a bit hopeful about the travels that they could maybe take when all of this is over? And there are so many of those books, some of them very popular, about particularly the walking books and the US travel experience, either, you know, the Appalachian Trail or the Great Pacific Trail, or, you know, traveling some of the national parks as well. They're quite a selection that people can really dip into.
Yeah, we have a whole country of people with cabin fever, like everybody. So those are kind of an antidote for cabin fever if you actually can't get out. So, you know, we call them armchair travel at the bookstore. And so I think you will see some popularity in those. And then hopefully as we hit the middle or late summer, people can get out and start having adventures again.
Well, for both of you, really, I mean, do you think reading is going to be one of these things that people will either rediscover, and not just the actual art of reading, but an actual book? Because we've talked about this so often, you know, why books have survived the digital age. Because there's something so tangible and there's such a different experience when you have something in your hands. And I certainly, as a parent, where, you know, you battle so hard to keep your kids off digital devices, where now everything seems to be on a digital device because they have to do all their learning on there, that I'm really desperate to get a physical book into their hands. And also myself as well, everything is now happening through screens and so much of our communication. There's a real solace in actually having a physical book in your hand, and it's a different emotional experience, I think, of being communicated with and communicating with others. The tangibility, I suppose, of a physical book. I mean, is that something either of you are experiencing personally, or as professional booksellers, this is something that you're seeing maybe play out?
I was experiencing it personally, and it was sort of funny when you mentioned reading old classics and things like that. I'm rereading all the Elizabeth Georges that I have in my house, and I have most of them, so I'm very excited about that, you know, all the way from book one to book two. But, you know, 2 o'clock rolls around, and I've done as many chores as I can, and I've gone for my walk, and, you know, frankly, sitting out on the back deck and reading a book and escaping for a little while is great. And I was talking to my son. He's actually in Hamburg. He's stuck in Germany. Well, stuck. He was supposed to be there anyway, but he can't come home regardless. And so his classes are online. He chats with his friends on video and online. But I just sent him one of those science fiction series, the James Ilsingsons. And so he sets everything aside and he does take time to read, which is nice because, you know, he is stuck in a studio apartment with just his screen. And so he has mentioned that he has enjoyed reading the book.
Yeah, and I'm finding that that's a great escape for me. You know, every night I'm trying to put an hour at least aside to read. You know, I'm doing Netflix like everybody else in the world, but I do want to make sure I get myself calmed down, kind of the comfort. It's like I'm like Linus with his blanket, me with my book. And like I just been reading this book, a Parisian book, Vernon Subutex, it's called. And it's this great, fun novel about this this guy who used to own a record store, but we know the way record stores went about 10 years ago. And now he's finally at the edge of his tether. And it's just a great look at contemporary Paris and kind of this crazy story. And it's just such an escape from what's going on, because if I'm on a screen, I can't help myself. I end up looking at that New York Times map all the time. And I just can't look at that map with all the coronavirus cases all over the country. You know, at some point, you just got to get away from that.
Well, I wanted to, as you know, as we wrap up, I wanted to ask each of you what you're reading. That was what you just finished reading, Arsene. What are you either reading now or what are you about to start reading?
Well, I'm actually going to dive into our next book group book, which is The Held by Tara Shay Nesbitt. And this is a book, I've read a little bit of it and I've talked to her about it. This is a book that takes place about 10 years after the Plymouth Colony started, and it's about the first murder that happened. And it's a novel, and she delves into a kind of the women's characters' perspectives. And so I'm looking forward to that.
I just finished it and it's fantastic. And so I encourage all listeners to read along with us, because we're going to talk about that and have Tara Shay join us for the very first time in the book club's 5-year history virtually. We won't be in the studio because of what's going on, but that will be on the fourth Thursday. Liesl, what are you reading right now?
Well, I finished A Great Deliverance, which is the first Elizabeth George, and I'm about to start Missing Joseph, because those were the two that I was missing. But before that, I read a book called The Sin Eater for our staff book group, which we had our meeting virtual. It was quite fun. Everybody had their glass of wine. It's supposed to come out, or it has come out, April 7th. Great sort of Elizabethan mystery, but it's a quasi-Elizabethan, so it's not one that you're familiar with, about a sin eater.
Well, we're all still delighted to have the Radio Book Club up and running, and as we said, there's a whole wealth of archival podcasts there for folks who are looking for some distraction and something to listen to. Just subscribe to the Radio Book Club wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, we'll have the books that we've talked about today listed online at news.kgnu.org. Well, Arsene and Liesl with the Boulder Bookstore, thank you so much for being with us on KGNU and giving us some suggestions on how we might pass the time constructively while we're socially isolating. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Maeve.
Thank you.